Welcome back. Welcome to Module 4 in the Hypnotic Pickup Method, and this module is called The Attraction. Now, hopefully, you've gotten yourself some experience. You've gone out and you've dated, and you've had the first date, and you've had the second date, maybe beyond that. And I wanted you to do that without a lot of hypnosis help because I wanted to make sure that you're at least up to speed. I mean, what if you're one of those people who just doesn't date and you were thinking you're just going to go in cold and just start dating from not dating to being a super dater? Well, I think it's better to crawl before you walk and walk before you run. So I've had you crawl and I've had you walk. Now it's time to run. In fact, by the time you're done with this program, you're going to be flying. So I hope that you've enjoyed the process so far, but get ready to step your game up quite a few notches. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, your tour guide, your mentor, your informant, your helper, your friend, as you now learn how to use hypnosis to really enhance your dating life. Okay, so let's look at successful communication. What does successful communication consist of? Well, first of all, if you really want to learn communication, I suggest, once again, getting my Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis Program. And you're going to learn in 18 hours of material how to really successfully communicate. But what I'm going to give you here is the essence that applies to a dating situation. And one of the key components in successful communication is knowing your goal. Why are you approaching that person? Why? Are you approaching them just to approach them? Do you have a plan in mind? Do you have a goal in mind? Your plan will follow your goal, but knowing your goal first is essential. Otherwise, don't approach that person. If you don't have a goal, don't approach that person. Your goal may be just to get experience approaching people. That's fine. In that case, all you have to do for your plan is approach the person. But your goal eventually will be more elaborate than that. So know what you want even before you initiate eye contact. Is your goal simple? Are you just going to ask for a phone number? That's fine. Is your goal to get a long-term relationship? That's fine. You know, when a batter in baseball hits the ball, they don't think about getting it to the pitcher or getting it a little bit past the pitcher. No, they think about getting a home run. They think about getting that ball all the way beyond the fence. That's what they think about. So you may find it odd to think of a long-term relationship when you haven't even looked at this person. I mean, I've told you to get your goal before you even make eye contact. You haven't even looked at the person in the eyes, and you've already thought that you want to be married for 60 years and have children and grandchildren. That's fine. I've worked with professional baseball players, and that's what they call batting for the fence. You bat for the fence. You aim for the fence. In other words, you aim for the farthest possible goal. Whatever your goal is, don't worry about how far away it is. Aim for it. That way, you're really going for it. You're fully invested. So even if it seems ridiculous to you to think, my goal is a long-term relationship, my goal is to grow old with this person and be in a rocking chair on the porch, talking to our grandchildren and sipping lemonade, and I haven't even looked in the person's eyes yet. That's okay. That's your goal. Everything in your plan is going to follow your goal. And guess what? Your success rate is going to improve greatly if you have a clearly defined goal. It's going to show in everything that you say and everything that you do. So what is your goal? Why are you there at that bar or that church or that nightclub or that meeting or that party? Why are you there? Why are you interested in talking to that person? Know your goal. Program yourself, your subconscious mind. Get your goal in your head before you even make eye contact. Maybe you're just looking for a first date. That's fine, but know it ahead of time. Initiate contact. I want you to initiate contact. You need to be the person who's taking charge from the very beginning. You need to initiate contact. They're going to appreciate the fact that you have initiated contact. This shows, at a very basic level, your confidence. And you have confidence in yourself. Why? Because you've used your anchor that you learned back when I was telling you all about the basics of dating. You fired off your anchor. You're making eye contact while you're initiating contact. You're smiling and you're introducing yourself. So you want to have an opening line prepared, such as, hi, my name is, whatever your name is, what's your name? oh, that's a nice name, and then start talking about their name. Have somewhere to go with the conversation. Have a follow-up question or a compliment prepared. So you see, you've got your plan now. You know your goal and you've got your plan. You're not just going in cold and thinking, oh, I'm going to ask their name, and if they say their name, then that's it. No, you have your next question ready. And your next question should have something to do with the question you asked initially, so you're building on the conversation. You're establishing rapport with the person. And make sure your next question is something that doesn't just require a yes or no or a set, finite answer. It's something they can elaborate on. So let's jump right in and talk about techniques. And the first one I want to talk about is anchoring. It's a neuro-linguistic programming technique, NLP, and it's been around for a long time, and it has to do with some research that a man named Ivan Pavlov did back around the year 1900. He would just ring a bell and let dogs smell meat at the same time, and eventually all he had to do was ring the bell because they associated the bell with the meat, and they started to salivate. Well, humans are the same way. Humans are like dogs in that respect. If you see police lights in your rearview mirror while you're driving, your heart rate's going to go up. You're going to start perspiring a little bit. Your breathing's going to become more rapid. There are going to be physiological changes in your body. And that's going to happen whether or not you get pulled over by that police officer or the police officer ends up going around you to pull over somebody else. When you see those lights, you react. Why? Because you know that police lights in a rearview mirror equal what? Potential trouble. Could be trouble. You've seen it on TV, you've seen it in the movies, you've perhaps had it happen to you. Somehow you just know that that equals trouble. That's an association. There's an anchor there. Those lights mean trouble in your mind. That's the anchor. And so when it's fired off, when you see those lights, you respond. Okay, so what anchors can you create for being powerful in a dating situation? You can create an anchor for confidence. Meaning that you can do something, kind of like the police lights in the rearview mirror. That's the stimulus. You can do something. You create your own stimulus that's going to mean something. It's not going to mean fear. It's going to mean power. Now, I suggest that you create anchors for confidence, feeling attractive, and motivation. Those are very powerful attractors. They will attract the person to you. This is the module about attraction. Confidence, feeling attractive about yourself and feeling motivated, those are very attractive. They're going to attract the person to you. So I suggest that you install anchors for these. Now, how do you do this? We did a little bit of it already in a prior module, but now I want to go a little deeper into it. You need to go into your dating situation armed with an anchor. So think of a time in your life when you felt confident. And I want you to recreate this experience. Now, if you're driving, don't do this while you're driving. Do this when you're not driving. What were you doing? How did it feel? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you smell or taste? Think about what it was like to be there, a time in your life when you felt confident. Think about that time. Okay, I'm going to be silent now. And as I'm silent, really make it clear for yourself. What were you doing? How did it feel? Meaning, how did your clothes feel? How did the temperature feel? How did you feel about yourself? Hopefully you felt great. Is it a time in your life when you felt confident? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you smell or taste? Making it real in a sensory way is going to allow you to really have success with this technique. So go ahead, as I'm silent, recreate that confident time in your mind. Tap into that memory. Do this now. Make it real for yourself as I'm silent. Okay, good. Good. Now, as I'm talking, make it even more real and feel even more confident as you tap into that memory. Good. Now, in a moment, what I want you to do is take your right hand and touch your left shoulder. Okay, you're going to do that in a moment. But at this time, keep being in that moment, feeling confident. In a moment, you'll take your right hand and touch your left shoulder. And when you do that, you're going to nod your head in a yes motion, nod your head yes, and you're going to think in your mind, I can do this. Okay? You're going to take your right hand, touch your left shoulder, you're going to nod your head in a yes motion a few times, and you're going to think in your mind, I can do this. But right now, focus on that confidence. Really make it real. Make it a peak state, as we say in NLP. Meaning you really feel those emotions as much as you possibly can. You feel that confidence. You're there in that confident situation. Okay, and when I say now, what I want you to do is touch your left shoulder with your right hand, nod your head, yes, as you're doing it, and think, I can do this. Ready? Crank those emotions up. Remember what it looked like, what it sounded like, what it smelled like or tasted like, what it felt like, what it smelled like or tasted like, what it felt like. Any sense that you can bring into the experience, bring it in now. It happened to you, you can relive it. Crank it up even higher now. Good. Good. Okay, now. Good. So did you do it? Did you touch your left shoulder with your right hand? Did you nod your head yes? Did you say, I can do this? You have a powerful anchor for confidence. Okay, now I want to give you an anchor for feeling attractive. You may think, well, how can I just feel attractive all of a sudden? You can do it with an anchor. Think of the association you have between perhaps a hot stove and being burned. If you've ever touched a hot stove with your hand and been burned, you know that it's hot, and you know that it hurts, and you know you should stay away from it. But you probably know that anyway, because you've probably seen someone do it, or you just heard about it, or you saw it in a movie or TV show or what have you. Hopefully, at this point, you know that a hot stove will burn you. That's an association in your mind. You associate reaching your hand out and touching the stove with pain. That is an association. That's a good association to have. You know not to do that now. Well, that's all we're doing. We're creating associations in your mind. We're creating an association now between something you're going to do and feeling attractive. It's as simple as that. Just as you can create an association between the stove and pain, you can create an association between doing something, saying something, and feeling attractive. What do you need to do to accomplish this? You need to think of a time in your life when you felt attractive. Any time at all. Any time when you felt attractive. Maybe someone told you you looked really good that day. Or maybe you knew you looked really good that day. Now, if you normally go through your life thinking you look attractive, think of a time when you looked extra attractive. You looked the most attractive ever. And it really doesn't matter what you actually looked like. What matters is what you felt that you looked like. Maybe you've seen people in the dating world who are with people who are very attractive, and you think, and the person is not attractive in your opinion. And you're thinking, how did that happen? It happened because the person who's with the person that you judge as very attractive sees themselves as attractive. See, that's all it is. That's all there is to it. You have to see yourself as being attractive. Once you see yourself as being attractive, you treat yourself as if you're attractive, and other people treat you as if you're attractive as well. So all I need to do is convince you that you're attractive. And guess what? Secrets out. You are attractive. You just didn't know it. You've always been attractive. And as soon as you acknowledge it, it becomes your reality. So think of a time when you felt attractive or extra attractive, the most attractive you ever felt in your life. Think of that time now and make it real. Now again, don't do this if you're driving. But think about, what were you doing? How did it feel? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you smell or taste? What was the temperature in the room? What did your clothes feel like if you had clothes on? Make everything real. And as I'm silent now, I want you to really intensify everything. See things more clearly that were there. Hear things more clearly that you heard. Feel your clothes or lack of clothes or the temperature of the air more clearly. If there's something to taste it or smell it more clearly. Heighten all of your senses now as you put yourself back in this time when you felt very attractive. Do this now as I'm silent. Now, in a moment, I'm going to have you take your left hand and touch your right shoulder. I'm going to have you look up and think in your mind, I am attractive. Okay? Now, the reason I'm having you think these things in your mind rather than say them out loud is I want you to have anchors you can fire off in any situation. If you're already in the date, you can fire these off because all you're doing is touching your shoulder and looking up and thinking something. It looks perfectly normal. Anyone can do it anytime. Okay? So right now, intensify those feelings. A time when you felt really attractive, super attractive, amazingly attractive. You're the most attractive person on the planet in your mind right now. And in your mind is where reality happens. So the truth is that at this moment, you are the most attractive person in the world. Acknowledge that. Make it your reality. Okay, really intensify these emotions now. Now, in a moment, once again, you're going to take your left hand, touch your right shoulder, look up, and think in your mind, I am attractive. Okay, ready? Get those emotions to a peak state. Really feel attractive. Feel how good it feels to feel attractive. Feel how comfortable it is for you. Feel how normal and natural it is for you to feel attractive. Really tap into that now. Plus the sights and the sounds and the smells and the tastes of that time when you felt super attractive. Okay, in a moment, I'm going to say now. And when I do, touch your right shoulder with your left hand, look up, and think, I am attractive. Ready? Now. Good. Okay, wonderful. Now what I want you to do is install an anchor for motivation. Motivation. So far, you've got one for confidence, and you've got one for feeling attractive, and you can fire these off anytime. Anytime you want, you can use them. And to make them more powerful, anytime you feel confident, go ahead and reinstall that anchor. If you feel confident in the next week at any time, go ahead and touch your left shoulder with your right hand. Nod your head yes and say, I can do this. If you feel attractive, which hopefully you will over and over, anytime in the next week, go ahead and take your left hand and touch your right shoulder and look up and think, I am attractive. And you can keep doing those for the rest of your life, in fact, constantly stacking the anchors, making them more powerful. You're also reinstalling the anchor so that when you do need it, when you do fire it off, it'll be there for you. See, what you're doing is keeping it fresh, keeping the battery energized. Okay, so let's install an anchor for motivation. So you know what to do. Think of a time in your life when you felt motivated. And again, make sure you're not driving when you do this. Think of a time in your life when you felt motivated. Hopefully, right before you started listening to this course, you felt motivated. Hopefully, as you're going through this course, you feel even more motivated. But think of a time, any time in your life, when you felt very motivated. Okay? And if it's right now, that's fine. Use right now if you want to. Okay? Now think about what you're doing in that moment. If it's not right now that you're using, what were you doing in that time when you felt motivated? How did it feel? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you taste or smell? Really crank up those sensory, really crank up that sensory input. Do that now as I'm silent. good. Now in a moment, what you're going to do is scratch your forehead right in the center, right between your eyebrows. You're going to scratch your forehead with your right hand, and you're going to look down, and you're going to say in your mind, I am motivated. Okay, you're going to take your right hand, scratch your forehead right between your eyebrows. You're going to look down and say, I am motivated in your mind. Okay, but right now, really focus on cranking that motivation feeling up higher and higher. That's right. What were you doing when you felt motivated? How did it feel? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you taste? What did you smell? What was the feeling of your clothing? What was the temperature in the room or outdoors or wherever you were? Make it real for you right now. And in a moment, I'm going to say now, and when I do, take your right hand, scratch just a few times, maybe three times, between your eyebrows. Look down as you do it and think to yourself, I am motivated. Ready? Crank those emotions up. Feel that motivation. And now. Good. You now have an anchor for motivation. So let's say, for example, you're about to go into a dating situation and you need confidence. Fire off your confidence anchor. Let's say you need to feel attractive in a dating situation. Maybe you're having a bad hair day or not wearing exactly what you want to wear or didn't quite get to shower beforehand or whatever it may be. Or maybe you already feel attractive, you want to feel more attractive. Fire off the anchor for feeling attractive. Let's say you're about to go on the date and you've been on 5 dates this week. Or you haven't been on any because you haven't dated in a while. You're not really feeling motivated. For whatever reason, motivation's down. Fire off your motivation anchor. If during the date you feel your confidence slipping because of something that happened, fire off your confidence anchor again. You can fire off any of these anchors either before or during the date. They are very inconspicuous. You're not going to draw attention to yourself by doing them. I've designed them in such a way, using the technology, that they are going to go under the radar. You're not going to get caught. So, we're talking about the attraction. Now remember, you've already learned this, but remember, it's important here that when you're conversing, you maintain eye contact, not all the time, but a lot of the time. You're looking at the person. You're not scaring them, but you're showing that you're interested in them. Your head is tilted slightly toward them. You nod to show that you're listening. You give a firm, not weak, handshake. And your hands are open. They're not in fists. They're open. You're showing the palms of your hand, not all the time, but often enough. Your arms are uncrossed. Now let's talk about legs. We haven't talked about that yet. Your feet are pointed toward the person. This actually shows interest at a subconscious level. Your feet are pointed toward the person. They are the object of your attention. That's where you're facing. They're not faced toward the door as if you want to get out. They're faced toward the person as if you want to advance toward them. And when you're speaking slowly and clearly. People who are skilled at dating speak slowly and clearly. They don't need to rush and get through everything quickly and tell the whole story of their life in 5 seconds. No, they're speaking slowly and clearly because they're in charge. They are calm. I'm kind of using my hypnotic voice here. You're speaking slowly and clearly. Maybe not quite this slowly and clearly, but you get the idea. Speaking slowly and clearly shows that you're in charge. Also, it avoids the person having to say, huh? What? What did you say? You're speaking loudly enough so that they can hear you. You're speaking slowly to show that you are in charge and you're speaking very clearly. And you're not having your sentences all run together. You're pausing a little bit between sentences. This shows that you're in charge. You don't feel rushed. Also, using a monotone voice can be very helpful. When I hypnotize my patients, I talk in a very monotone voice. I've smoothed my voice out as much as possible. It's sort of like this. Hello, and now it's time to relax even more deeply. If you've used any of my 3,600 hypnosis recordings, you know that I speak in a very monotone voice, as smoothed out as possible. because I'm trying to relax the person. Or what happens when you use a monotone voice in a dating situation? You put them into a trance. You're talking in a monotone voice. Now be careful that you don't put them to sleep, because the monotone voice can be that powerful. You can talk to someone on the phone, for example, in a monotone voice, and suddenly there's no one on the other line talking because they've fallen asleep. I've had that happen many times when I've gotten a little too carried away with my monotone voice. So make sure that they are awake, yet they are slightly in a trance. And you'll know they're awake but slightly in a trance because their eyes will be open but not fully open, a little bit glazed over. So start talking in your hypnotic voice, and then you can add suggestions as you're talking. Yes, I'm glad that you find me very interesting. They may have not even said that you're interesting, but you're hypnotizing them at this point. Yes, I'm glad that you want to go on the next date. They may consciously not even remember you saying that. Probably they won't, because you're talking in that hypnotic monotone voice. You're saying things. Now, you're not constantly just saying, yes, you're going deeper. Yes, you're going into a trance. You're not saying any of that. You're just talking in a monotone voice, and occasionally you're giving suggestions. Yes, it seems like you'd like to go outside now. Yes, it seems like you're getting tired. You'd like to go back to my place. Is that right? Okay, you've already put the suggestion in there. Yes, it is right, because you've just suggested it to them. You've given them that suggestion with your monotone voice. Avoid negative words also. Avoid negative words like can't and don't. Also avoid words that show that you're not really confident, like should have or might or try. No one wants to hear that you're going to try to do something. They want to hear that you're either going to do it or not do it. Trying doesn't mean anything. Trying means that you might do it, and that's not definite. If there's something you should have done in the past, well, you didn't do it. So why not just say, I didn't do this? Or, I'm going to do it in the future. Should have doesn't mean anything. It's powerless. It's weak. It shows your weakness. Should have should be eliminated from your vocabulary altogether. You want to make sure you're positive and upbeat. Everything about you is positive. Also, using humor is very powerful. Have, as we've already talked about, have a funny story prepared. Again, you're anchoring that person to believing that you are funny. They think of you and they think of funny. So make your humor non-offensive. You already have your story prepared. Make it non-offensive. Now, if humor is a challenge for you, go ahead and anchor humor. Think of a time in your life when you felt that you were funny, and go ahead and create an anchor for that. You can create your own anchor, by the way. Maybe you touch your left knee with your right hand and you kind of turn your head to the right and you think, I am funny. It can be anything you want. The anchor that you create is yours. So have some flexibility with it. Realize you can create an anchor for anything. But humor puts people at ease. Okay, let's talk about another technique. Let's talk about quotes patterns. What is a quotes pattern? When making a statement about yourself, you pretend someone else said it about you. Okay, so think about that. This is the way of complimenting yourself without making it look like you're being arrogant. Now, here are some examples of this technique. Instead of saying, I am very motivated, you would want to say, my friends tell me that since I'm so motivated, I should easily be able to do blank, whatever it is you should be easily able to do. You didn't say you're motivated. Your friends said it. You're just reporting what your friends said. Here's another example. Instead of saying, I own a large house, you can say, a friend of mine told me that since I have a large house, I should get a dog. Okay, so you've just told a person that you have a large house, which may or may not mean anything to that person. You have to decide. But you've given that information, and the point is that you now know how to give that information without saying it. You've just said, I own a large house, but you disguised it by saying that a friend said it, and they weren't even talking about the house, they're talking about the dog. The point of the sentence is the dog. You're not even talking about the house in the sentence that your friend said and not you. So you see how you've taken yourself completely out of that? Another example, instead of saying, I'm a very giving person, you could say, my sister says that since I volunteer often at the hospital, I'm a giving person. Okay? So the sister says it, that since I volunteer often at the hospital, I'm a giving person. Okay? So the sister says it. Now, you can disguise those even further by saying something like, I've never considered myself a very giving person. I mean, my sister talks about the fact that I volunteer at the hospital as being an indicator of that, but really, I'm just a regular person. Okay, so you even embedded it a little bit more in the sentence, and you're clearly not saying that you're a giving person because you don't really feel that you're a giving person. Yet you have said that you're a giving person, and now you've established yourself as a giving person with a specific example of volunteering. So your goal here is to pick up a man. And since you're trying to pick up a man, you need to realize that men are very tuned in to people who are not tuned into them. So if you throw out too many quotes patterns, even though you're hiding these wonderful things about yourself in a quotes pattern, you're still saying a lot about yourself. So you need to make sure that you're just throwing in a few here and there, or maybe one in the whole first date, for example, because men want to feel that they are wonderful contributors to the world. And if you are the wonderful contributor to the world and you have all of these things going for you and all this money and this big house and so forth, well, why are you even talking to this man? That's what they're going to feel. The man's going to feel a little insecure and that maybe he's not quite matched up too well because they want to at least feel that they have the upper hand in the power dynamic. So give him that. Let him feel a little bit of that. Don't overdo it. So be careful when you're using these quotes patterns with men. Okay, now another technique you can use is mirroring. Mirroring is an essential part of anything that you will do that has to do with interacting with people. And in the Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis course, I talk extensively about mirroring. Let's look at mirroring as it relates to dating. Mirroring is when you imitate another person's actions or behaviors to establish rapport. Now, it's important. You have a goal here. You're trying to establish rapport. What does rapport mean? Rapport means getting along with a person. So you're imitating them in order to get along with them. You create a mirror image of them. So, for example, if their left hand raises, your right hand raises, because that's the way a mirror looks. Look at a mirror. If you raise your left hand, the person in the mirror is raising their right hand. So you have to do the opposite. And keep in mind that mirroring needs to occur on a time delay. It doesn't mean that they're going to raise their left hand, you're going to raise your left hand right away. Stall a half second or 2 seconds, anywhere from a half second to 2 seconds. You don't have to time it, just kind of count in your mind. Half second to 2 seconds later, you do what they just did in the opposite way. That's mirroring. You're going to establish in their mind that you are like them. And what do we think when we're with someone who's like us? Well, if they're too much like us, it's not really going to work out. But if they're similar to us at some subconscious level, well, then we feel that we're with someone who speaks our language or with someone we can get along with, we can share with. So use a little bit of mirroring just to get your foot in the door to have them feel at ease with you. So what can you mirror? Well, you can mirror their posture. If you walk up to someone in a bar and they're standing a certain way, you can stand that way also. Not exactly that way, otherwise you're going to look like you're making fun of them, but very similarly. You can stand very similarly to them. Hand gestures, you can do similar hand gestures. Make similar facial expressions. Any movements they make, you can make in a similar, although not exact way. And also, you don't do it right when they do it, you delay a little bit. Now, when you use mirroring in a dating situation, make sure that you're mirroring their positive body language. If their legs are crossed, their arms are crossed, don't do that. Then you've just created two negatives. You've got two people who are clearly not interested in each other, and they're just reinforcing each other. Your closed-offedness mirrors their closed-offedness, and the two start to build on each other. Eventually, you both think at a subconscious level that you're not interested, when all you were trying to do is establish rapport. So only mirror positive body language. If they lean toward you, lean toward them. If they uncross their arms, uncross your arms. Okay, so I told you a minute ago not to cross your arms if they've got theirs crossed, but if you see theirs to start uncross, go ahead and cross yours and then uncross yours as they're uncrossing theirs, as long as they're doing it slowly, because that is a positive thing. They see themselves as warming up to you and you warming up to them at the same time. If they scratch their head, scratch your head. That's kind of a neutral action, isn't it? I mean, scratching your head doesn't mean good or bad or right or wrong or anything like that. It just means they're scratching their head. But take advantage of it. Go ahead and scratch your head. Use neutral, mirror neutral body language as well. So let's talk a little bit about pacing. What is pacing? Pacing is when you take a note of their mannerisms and then start applying them. So what can be paced? Well, their voice speed can be paced, their voice volume can be paced, their voice tempo, their vocabulary. Maybe they're short and to the point when they talk and they don't tend to ramble. Maybe they tend to ramble. All of these things can be paced, meaning all of these things can be imitated. Voice speed. Right now, I'm talking at what I would consider to be a fairly medium to fast speed. I want to give you as much information in as short a period of time as I can. So I'm talking at a fairly fast pace. I'm not talking super fast like this, and I'm certainly not talking slowly and trying to stretch out a little information to an entire hour. No, I'm talking at a fairly fast pace because I've got a lot of information to share with you, a lot of quality information, and I want to give it to you in a clear way, but as succinctly as possible so you can get as much information in your head from my head as you can in the shortest period of time. That's my pace. That's my voice tempo. That's my voice speed, the speed at which I'm talking, and you can pace that. If you wanted to talk with me right now, you would match that. You should come up to me and say hi, and I would say, hey, how are you doing? You'd say, oh, I'm doing great. And I would say, what's going on today? And you would say, I don't know, I'm just thinking about doing some recordings. Whatever it is you're going to say, you would match my pace. Now, if I'm talking like this, and you're talking like this, and I'm talking like this, and you're talking like this, we're just not going to get along. We're not going to sync up. I'm not going to see you as being similar to me. You're not going to see me as being similar to you. We're just not going to synchronize. Have you ever gone up to someone, maybe you've gone to get coffee or something, and you're in a hurry? You're in a big hurry, but they're not. They're not in a hurry at all because they're going to be there for 8 hours. That's where they work. And no matter what happens for the next 8 hours, they're going to be there making coffee. And they don't have to hurry at all because they've got nowhere to go. You do. That doesn't affect them. They get the same amount of money per hour, no matter how quickly or slowly they do their job. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to get to work. I've got to get going. But they don't really care. Are you in any way enjoying your interaction with them? Are you in any way seeing yourself as similar to them? No, they're not pacing you. It would be nice if perhaps maybe they could talk a little more quickly and even move a little more quickly. That would be wonderful. Then you would see them as being like you. You'd also see them as being on your team and not working against you. Luckily, when you go to coffee places, they're usually pretty revved up because they're drinking coffee. A lot of people work at coffee places because they like drinking coffee. But you've had a similar situation, I'm sure. Maybe you're in the opposite situation. Maybe you're sitting at home and a telemarketer called. You're just trying to relax. The person saying, hey, how do you feel about your tires? Do you think you need new tires in your car? Or whatever strange or whatever thing they might be trying to sell you. And you're just not trying to hear that right now. You're trying to hear relaxation sounds. And they're not offering anything that has to do with that because they're not trained in pacing because they're bad salespeople. And what do? Well, if you're like me, you just hang up. Thank you. Goodbye. And you hang up. That is because they have not matched where you are. They haven't gotten into relaxed time. They're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to make the sale. And you're thinking, huh, I'm done with my job. I'm just going to relax now. So if you want to be in rapport with someone, you've got to pace them. You've got to match the speed of their voice, also the volume of their voice. If someone's talking loudly and you're talking quietly, they're not going to relate. or vice versa. You've got to match the volume of their voice. What about the tempo of their voice? Is there a pattern to their voice? Do they talk like this, and then they say some more, and then they say a little more? Or do they continue to talk like this, and they don't ever stop until they get to the end of the sentence? How are they talking? What is their voice tempo? Match their tempo. Now, be careful. You don't want to match everything exactly. Otherwise, you're going to seem like you're mocking them. Imitation is one thing. Mockery is another. Imitation gets you rapport. Mockery gets you quite the opposite. Kicked out. Quite the opposite. Kicked out the door, perhaps. So you've got rapport or the door. Vocabulary. What kind of vocabulary are they using? You know, one time I got this program for building my vocabulary, which I thought was great, and I listened to it all the time, and I had all these big vocabulary words, and they even told me in the program, now you're getting into the fifth percentile, meaning only 5% of the people in the world knew these words or something like that. I thought, oh, goody, I'm going to be so smart when I talk. Everyone's going to think I'm really smart. It's going to be great. Well, I started using a lot of those words. And I started using a lot of those words in some of the recordings I was doing. Luckily, I don't do that anymore. Well, what was happening? I was isolating myself from 95% of the people out there. Turns out my vocabulary program was working against me. I was suddenly talking a language that only 5% of the people on the planet spoke. Not going to go very far in terms of establishing rapport. You need to make sure that if you have this super-duper vocabulary... Super duper is not a vocabulary word, by the way. But if you have a super duper vocabulary and you're flaunting it everywhere, well, that can be great for you. But if people don't understand a lot of what you're saying, it's really not so great, is it? Also, what are you doing? You're setting yourself up as being the superior person. You're so superior to everyone else around you that no one can understand what you're saying. And of course, people aren't going to say, what does that mean? Because no one wants to seem stupid. So they're just going to let it go, and they're going to think, my goodness, what's wrong with this person? They use all these big words all the time. Who do they think they are? Or worse, maybe the person you're talking to knows all these big words, and they're thinking, I know every one of those words, and I would never use them in normal conversation. I might use them if I were to write a dissertation, but I would not use them in normal conversation. This person is a real idiot for using these words. So that's my two cents on vocabulary. If you have a big one, why don't you just tone it down a little bit and match what the other person's using? Maybe they have that big vocabulary too, but that's not the way they talk. Because humans don't talk using super-duper words. Usually they just don't. If they're trying to seem better than the other person, then they do. But if they're trying to communicate, they don't. You know what the best advice is that I ever got? When you write a book, write it as if you're writing to a person in eighth grade. Now, why is that? Are you assuming everyone's dumb? No, that's not what you're doing. You are writing it so that you can be efficient in your communication. If you can't say it so that an eighth grader would understand it, then you don't understand it yourself. If you have to use technical jargon to explain everything and you can't boil it down to what an eighth grader would understand, then you do not have mastery over that topic. You need to make sure that what you say is expressed in a very simple way. So how does this work in a practical sense with dating? If the person's using a very elaborate vocabulary that only 5% of the world would understand and you don't know those words, well, naturally you can't match it. But maybe you can step up your word usage a little bit. Maybe you can use some words that they use, throw them back at them. Maybe you don't even know what they mean, but you use them in a similar context and it's okay. Every now and then throw one of their words back at them. Even if they're just using normal conversation, start using the words that they use. If you're one of these people who's used the vocabulary building program, unfortunately, and you happen to be talking to someone who doesn't use those words, which would be, of course, 95% of the people on the planet, then you need to tone it down a little bit. You're not dumbing anything down. You're not giving any of yourself up. You're trying to establish rapport. Why are you even talking to this person if you feel like it's a chore to tone your vocabulary down? Think about that. If you feel it's a chore to tone your vocabulary down, just don't talk to them. But if you want to establish something with them, if you want to get the second date and third date, if you want to have intimacy with them, you've got to speak their language. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about pacing, matching their speed, volume, tempo, and vocabulary. And this comes with what? Practice. That's right. Practice, practice, practice. Practice is what's going to help you get to where you want to be. So, for your homework for Module 4, what I want you to do is work on not only pacing, but the other things we've talked about in this module. Now we're stepping it up quite a bit. Now you're using hypnotic techniques to get what you want. You've already gotten yourself in the game. You've already been dating, hopefully, you did your homework from the first three modules. Now we're going to step that up and we're going to really add the icing on the cake, this power that you can use. So I want you to practice these things. And it doesn't have to be in a dating situation at this point. You can install your anchors. If you haven't installed all of your anchors, go ahead and do that for your homework. Remember, confidence, feeling attractive, and feeling motivation. And if you want to install one for humor or anything else, go ahead and make one up and install it. Practice being aware of your body language. Remember, feet pointing towards them, arms not crossed, head leaned in while you're talking to them. Practice on friends and family if you want. Practice using your quotes pattern. Remember, you're not talking about yourself, you're talking about someone else. For example, instead of saying, "I'm very motivated," you would say something like, "My friends tell me that since I am motivated, I should easily be able to do blank." Okay, you're disguising the compliment about yourself. So you want to practice that. Also practice that monotone voice, that hypnotic voice. Practice talking to people like this, perhaps on the phone, and don't just go right into it. Don't just start talking like this and then all of a sudden you're talking like this. Ease into it. So if I'm talking like this, maybe I can start slowing it down a little bit and slowing it down a little bit more until eventually I'm talking like this. And it just seemed kind of natural because now I'm talking like this. And I really want to tell you that you are an outstanding person. And I really want to tell you that you're going to have all the success in the world with dating because you're very attractive. And you're going to attract anyone you want to yourself by using this program because you will master it fully by the time you're done. And then I'm going to say other things also that don't have anything to do with programming so that I don't get caught programming. I'm going to say things such as, "It's a wonderful day today. The sky is blue, the clouds are white." And I'm also going to say, "And you're going to be an amazing dater. You're going to be on top of your game all the time because you believe in yourself." You see what I'm doing there? I've slowed my voice down, that hypnotic pace, if you will, and I've got the suggestions going on. Not constant suggestions, but suggestion and then something that doesn't have anything to do with suggestions. Suggestion and then something that doesn't have anything to do with suggestions. You, as a dater, can think of your own suggestions. It can be, "Let's go back to my place," or whatever you want it to be. But these are very hypnotic suggestions because you've slowed your voice down. Now you're programming their subconscious mind with your slowed down voice. So practice that. Practice it with other people. Practice it with getting people to bring something to your house, for example. Talk to your friend on the phone and, "Since you're going to bring over dinner this evening, I think that blah, blah, blah." Just have some fun with it. Practice getting what you want by giving people suggestions in a hypnotic way. Okay? What else? I want you to practice mirroring. You've got a lot of homework now, don't you? Things have gotten quite a bit busier all of a sudden. So you've got some homework. I want you to practice mirroring as part of that homework. Mirror someone. Mirror what they do and don't get caught. If you get caught, that's fine. It's just practice. Practice with friends and family. I don't necessarily want you to practice in a dating situation yet, unless you want to, but you can practice with friends and family. Practice mirroring. Practice pacing, matching what they say and how they say it. So that's your homework for Module 4. You're going to have fun with it. And then join me in Module 5, where I'll give you even more techniques. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and you're going to have an outstanding day. Thank you.